Chapter 23. The whole town, when, as I have said, the better sort of people first took the alarm, and began to hurry themselves out of town. It was true, as I observed in its place, that the throng was so great, and the coaches, horses, wagons, and carts were so many, driving and dragging the people away, that it looked as if all the city was running away. And had any regulations been published, that had been terrifying at that time, especially such as would pretend to dispose of the people otherwise than they would dispose of themselves, it would have put both the city and suburbs into the utmost confusion. But the magistrates wisely caused the people to be encouraged, made very good bylaws for the regulating the citizens, keeping good order in the streets, and making everything as eligible as possible to all sorts of people. In the first place, the Lord Mayor and the sheriffs, the court of aldermen, and a certain number of the common councilmen, or their deputies, came to a resolution and published it, viz., that they would not quit the city themselves, but that they would be always at hand for the preserving good order in every place, and for the doing justice on all occasions, as also for the distributing the public charity to the poor, and, in a word, for the doing the duty and discharging the trust reposed in them by the citizens to the utmost of their power. In pursuance of these orders, the Lord Mayor, sheriffs, and see held councils every day, more or less, for making such dispositions as they found needful for preserving the civil peace, and though they used the people with all possible gentleness and clemency, yet all manner of presumptuous rogues such as thieves, housebreakers, plunderers of the dead, or of the sick, were duly punished, and several declarations were continually published by the Lord Mayor and Court of Aldermen against such. Also all constables and churchwardens were enjoined to stay in the city upon severe penalties, or to depute such able and sufficient housekeepers as the deputy aldermen, or common councilmen of the precinct should approve, and for whom they should give security, and also security in case of mortality, that they would forthwith constitute other constables in their stead. These things re-established the minds of the people very much, especially in the first of their fright, when they talked of making so universal a flight, that the city would have been in danger of being entirely deserted of its inhabitants except the poor, and the country of being plundered, and laid waste by the multitude. Nor were the magistrates deficient in performing their part as boldly as they promised it. For my Lord Mayor and the sheriffs were continually in the streets, and at places of the greatest danger, and though they did not care for having too great a resort of people crowding about them, yet in emergent cases they never denied the people access to them, and heard with patience all their grievances and complaints. My Lord Mayor had a low gallery built on purpose in his hall, where he stood a little removed from the crowd, when any complaint came to be heard, that he might appear with as much safety as possible. Likewise the proper officers, called my Lord Mayor's officers, constantly attended in their turns, as they were in waiting, and if any of them were sick or infected, as some of them were, others were instantly employed to fill up, and officiate in their places till it was known, whether the other should live or die. In like manner the sheriffs and aldermen did in their several stations and wards, where they were placed by office, and the sheriff's officers or sergeants were appointed to receive orders from the respective aldermen in their turn, so that justice was executed in all cases without interruption. In the next place, it was one of their particular cares to see the orders for the freedom of the markets observed, and in this part either the Lord Mayor or one or both of the sheriffs were every market day on horseback, to see their orders executed, and to see that the country people had all possible encouragement and freedom in their coming to the markets and going back again, and that no nuisances or frightful objects should be seen in the streets to terrify them, or make them unwilling to come. Also the bakers were taken under particular order, and the master of the baker's company was, with his court of assistants, directed to see the order of my Lord Mayor for their regulation put in execution, and the due assize of bread, which was weekly appointed by my Lord Mayor, observed. And all the bakers were obliged to keep their oven going constantly, on pain of losing the privileges of a freeman of the City of London. By this means bread was always to be had in plenty, and as cheap as usual, as I said above, and provisions were never wanting in the markets, even to such a degree, that I often wondered at it, and reproached myself with being so timorous and cautious in stirring abroad, when the country people came freely and boldly to market, as if there had been no manner of infection in the city, or danger of catching it. It was indeed one admirable piece of conduct in the said magistrates, that the streets were kept constantly dear, and free from all manner of frightful objects, dead bodies, or any such things as were indecent or unpleasant, unless where anybody fell down suddenly, or died in the streets, as I have said above, and these were generally covered with some cloth or blanket, or removed into the next churchyard till night. All the needful works that carried terror with them, that were both dismal and dangerous, were done in the night. If any diseased bodies were removed, or dead bodies buried, or infected clothes burnt, it was done in the night, and all the bodies which were thrown into the great pits in the several churchyards or burying grounds, as has been observed, were so removed in the night, and everything was covered and closed before day, so that in the daytime there was not the least signal of the calamity to be seen or heard of, except what was to be observed from the emptiness of the streets, and sometimes from the passionate outcries and lamentations of the people, out at their windows, and from the numbers of houses and shops shut up. Nor was the silence and emptiness of the streets, so much in the city as in the out parts, except just at one particular time when, as I have mentioned, the plague came east and spread over all the city. It was indeed a merciful disposition of God, that as the plague began at one end of the town first, as has been observed at large, so it proceeded progressively to other parts, and did not come on this way, or eastward, till it had spent its fury in the west part of the town. And so, as it came on one way, it abated another. For example, it began at St. Giles and the Westminster end of the town, and it was in its height in all that part by about the middle of July, viz. In St. Giles in the Fields, St. Andrews, Holborn, St. Clement Danes, St. Martin in the Fields, and in Westminster. The latter end of July it decreased in those parishes, and coming east, it increased prodigiously in Cripplegate, St. Sepulchre's, St. James, Clerkenwell, and St. Bride's and Aldersgate. While it was in all these parishes, the city and all the parishes of the Southwark side of the water and all Stepney, Whitechapel, Aldgate, Wapping, and Ratcliffe, were very little touched, so that people went about their business unconcerned, carried on their trades, kept open their shops, and conversed freely with one another in all the city, the east and northeast suburbs, and in Southwark, almost as if the plague had not been among us. Even when the north and northwest suburbs were fully infected, viz. Cripplegate, Clerkenwell, Bishopsgate, and Shoreditch, yet still all the rest were tolerably well. For example, from 25th July to 1st August the bill stood thus of all diseases. St. Giles, Cripplegate 554, St. Sepulchres 250, Clerkenwell 103, Bishopsgate 116, Shoreditch 110, Stepney Parish 127, Aldgate 92, Whitechapel 104, all the 97 parishes within the walls 228, all the parishes in Southwark 205, total 1889. So that, in short, there died more that week in the two parishes of Cripplegate and St. Sepulchre by 48 than in all the city, all the east suburbs, and all the Southwark parishes put together. This caused the reputation of the city's health to continue all over England and especially in the counties and markets adjacent, from whence our supply of provisions chiefly came even much longer than that health itself continued. For when the people came into the streets from the country by Shoreditch and Bishop's Gate, or by Old Street and Smithfield, they would see the out streets empty, and the houses and shops shut, and the few people that were stirring their walk in the middle of the streets. But when they came within the city, their things looked better, and the markets and shops were open, and the people walking about the streets as usual, though not quite so many. And this continued till the latter end of August and the beginning of September. But then the case altered quite. The distemper abated in the west and northwest parishes, and the weight of the infection lay on the city and the eastern suburbs, and the southern side, and this in a frightful manner. Then, indeed, the city began to look dismal, shops to be shut, and the streets desolate. In the High Street, indeed, necessity made people stir abroad on many occasions, and there would be in the middle of the day a pretty many people, but in the mornings and evenings scarce any to be seen, even there, no, not in Cornhill and Cheapside. These observations of mine were abundantly confirmed by the weekly bills of mortality for those weeks, an abstract of which, as they respect the parishes which I have mentioned, and as they make the calculations I speak of very evident, take as follows. The weekly bill, which makes out this decrease of the burials, in the west and north side of the city, stands thus, from the 12th of September to the 19th Street Giles, Cripplegate 456 Street Giles in the Fields 140 Clerkenwell 77 Street Sepulchre 214 Street Leonard, Shoreditch 183 Stepney Parish 716 Aldgate 623 Whitechapel 532 in the 97 parishes within the walls 1493 in the 8 parishes on Southwark side 1636, total 6060. Here is a strange change of things indeed, and a sad change. It was, and had it held for 2 months more than it did, very few people would have been left alive. But then such, I say, was the merciful disposition of God that, when it was thus, the west and north part which had been so dreadfully visited at first, grew, as you see, much better, and as the people disappeared here, they began to look abroad again there. And the next week or two altered it still more, that is, more to the encouragement of tile other part of the town. For example, from the 19th of September to the 26th Street Giles, Cripplegate 277 Street Giles in the Fields 119 Clerkenwell 76 Street Sepulchres 193 Street Leonard, Shoreditch 146 Stepney Parish 616 Aldgate 496 Whitechapel 346 in the 97 parishes within the walls 1268 in the 8 parishes on Southwark side 1390, total 4927, from the 26th of September to the 3rd of October Street Giles, Cripplegate 196 Street Giles in the Fields 95 Clerkenwell 48 Street Sepulchres 137. St. Leonard, Shoreditch 128 Stepney Parish 674 Aldgate 372 Whitechapel 328 in the 97 parishes within the walls 1149 and the 8 parishes on Southwark side 1201, total 4382. And now the misery of the city, and of the said east and south parts was complete indeed. For, as you see, the weight of the distemper lay upon those parts, that is to say, the city, the 8 parishes over the river, with the parishes of Aldgate, Whitechapel, and Stepney, and this was the time that the bills came up to such a monstrous height as that I mentioned before, and that 8 or 9, and, as I believe, 10 or 12,000 a week, died. For it is my settled opinion that they never could come at any just account of the numbers, for the reasons which I have given already. Nay, one of the most eminent physicians, who has since published in Latin an account of those times, and of his observations, says that in 1 week there died 12,000 people, and that particularly there died 4,000 in one night, though I do not remember that there ever was any such particular night so remarkably fatal as that such a number died in it. However, all this confirms what I have said above of the uncertainty of the bills of mortality, and see of which I shall say more hereafter. And here let me take leave to enter again, though it may seem a repetition of circumstances, into a description of the miserable condition of the city itself, and of those parts, where I lived at this particular time. The city and those other parts, notwithstanding the great numbers of people that were gone into the country, was vastly full of people, and perhaps the fuller, because people had for a long time a strong belief that the plague would not come into the city, nor into Southwark, no, nor into Wapping, or Ratcliffe at all. Nay, such was the assurance of the people on that head, that many removed from the suburbs on the west and north sides, into those eastern and south sides as for safety, and, as I verily believe, carried the plague amongst them there perhaps sooner than they would otherwise have had it. Here also I ought to leave a further remark for the use of posterity, concerning the manner of people's infecting one another. Namely, that it was not the sick people only from whom the plague was immediately received by others that were sound, but the well. To explain myself, by the sick people I mean those who were known to be sick, had taken their beds, had been under cure, or had swellings and tumors upon them, and the like. These everybody could beware of. They were either in their beds or in such condition as could not be concealed. By the well I mean such as had received the contagion, and had it really upon them, and in their blood, yet did not show the consequences of it in their countenances. Nay, even were not sensible of it themselves, as many were not for several days. These breathed death in every place, and upon everybody who came near them. Nay, their very clothes retained the infection, their hands would infect the things they touched, especially if they were warm and sweaty, and they were generally apt to sweat too. Now it was impossible to know these people, nor did they sometimes, as I have said, know themselves to be infected. These were the people that so often dropped down and fainted in the streets, for oftentimes they would go about the streets to the last, till on a sudden they would sweat, grow faint, sit down at a door and die. It is true, finding themselves thus, they would struggle hard to get home to their own doors, or at other times would be just able to go into their houses and die instantly. Other times they would go about till they had the very tokens come out upon them, and yet not know it, and would die in an hour or two, after they came home, but be well as long as they were abroad. These were the dangerous people. These were the Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.